Welcome to Purdue Crop Chat, a regular podcast from Hoosier Ag Today and the Purdue University Extension Service, featuring Purdue Extension soybean specialist Dr. Sean Castile and Extension corn specialist Dr. Dan Quinn. On this episode, Dan and Sean discuss planting progress and how different weather conditions around the state have contributed to that progress. The weather has also caused some serious problems.
Benton County, White County, those areas, Stark, Plaski, the windstorms, the dust storms that came through just annihilated a great-looking crop.
This podcast is made possible by the Indiana Corn Marketing Council and Indiana Soybean Alliance. Your Indiana Corn and Soybean Checkoff investments are working to find new markets for your crops through international demand, new uses, and research. Learn more about the programs working on your behalf at yourcheckoff.org. Now your host for Purdue Crop Chat, Hoosier Ag Today's Eric Pfeiffer.
Here at the Indiana Corn and Soybean Innovation Center, the Purdue Crop Chat is on the air. And it's been a little while since we got together. We've gotten some planting done, guys. I'm here with soybean Sean Castile. Hello, Sean.
Howdy, Eric.
And Dan Corn Quinn. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Eric.
And it's really been a pretty interesting story if you go around the state. We've been doing this kind of interesting thing at Hoosier Ag Today. We grab some farmers from around the state and kind of, you know, we get these numbers from USDA every Monday, and that's what it is. It's a number, right? Like, we can look at it, and it's kind of neat to see how we're progressing, but it doesn't tell you a whole lot other than
the average.
The average. It tells you the number.
It's like rainfall, you know, historic rainfall averages.
Yeah, it gives you... It gives you that, and that's it. But you know, I've got some friends around the state, and we go around, we see what is just these
just
four,
one. Just one.
Yeah. just these four. That's all I've got. So I go around the state, and I've been chatting with my friends in Northwest Indiana. Denise Scarborough is up there. I think you both know Denise. Mm-hmm. She tells me up in Northwest Indiana that, boy, they've been missing rains.
I think most of them are on vacation right now in Northwest Indiana. They've been done.
Yeah, they've been done. They're good to go. She says all of our commercial corn's in the ground, soybean, they're good. We're planting seed corn. That's it. Tomatoes are going in for red gold. And otherwise they're done. So they're good there. Over here in West Central Indiana, right, my buddy Ryan Rippey, he's like, yeah, man, I got done a couple weeks ago. I'm good. Just mowing the yard now, checking on some equipment, doing some things. But you head down south where J.R. Racener is. He's on the corn board. Boy, he's feeling awfully behind, especially down there in southern Indiana. East Central Indiana, you go over to Delaware County. Jenna Scott's over there. They've had a rough go of it. You guys have some research farms around the state. Are you hearing just about the same here as you go around, Dan?
Yeah, very, very similar. Our Penny Purdue Ag Center up in Northwest Indiana, up in the Wanata Valparaiso area there. They've been done. They were moving to Cydrus before this recent rain. Here in West Lafayette, we've been done as well. Been hit and miss around the state. Our Southeast Farm, they've got some in, but they still got some to go. They're usually done by now. And then you go to our Davis Farm in East Indiana, the farmland area over there. They were just putting some of the first seeds in the ground, I think, this past week, and then got a little bit more rain coming through. So, it's like you said, it's funny that you look at the planting progress, for corn, we're kind of at that 5-year average, a little bit ahead, but it's when you step back and look at the state, it's really variable depending on where you're at. There's folks that are way ahead that have been done. Actually, we're getting a little bit dry, and then there's other places that people are well behind as well, and they just keep getting these rains. Really, the southern portion of the state, you look at, I know southern Illinois has had problems. Ohio is way behind, and then talking to folks in Kentucky's been behind too. So it's kind of those systems going through the southern portions of the state and the eastern portions of the state into Ohio that have just keep getting rain and getting behind when it comes to planting.
Yeah, those have come through that Ohio River Valley and kind of come up to Indy, and then it's been weird. You're used to having rains coming from the west, and we've had, I don't know how many systems do this, corkscrew, counterclockwise, come back in. You get hit once, you get hit twice in the same system. So that east central part of Indiana, southeast, and certainly in our friends over in Ohio are getting hammered with it as well. The story of the haves and the have-nots, there's no doubt about that. When we're looking on the average, we are ahead of a five-year average on the soybeans. We're planted 59%, 5-year average is 52. But, I mean, it's that northwest, west central. They got it in the ground. And I think if you were to pull any weather map for the last 30 to 45 days, you get anything that's going to be a precip map or the drought monitor, you go to where those dry pockets are and where they're popping up. That's the areas that are done, right? So the northwest, west central certainly have done well. What's interesting to me, we were like, it's not sunny in 75 last week, Eric. It was sunny in 95 last week up here. You know, we're worried about that D word drought on the northern side, and they got the southern side. I'd take some dry weather for about 3 weeks, right? So I think we look at this and how warm it's been, the moisture that was there. We've got a lot of beans actually out of the ground fast. So if we look at emergence, we're nearly a third for the state, which is ahead, about 10% ahead of the 5-year average. And it screams to just what the conditions were like. Those April planted beans, they were warm conditions. They weren't 60 degrees. They were 70, 80, upwards of 90. So we got a lot of beans out of the ground. Corn, I dare say, is probably similar as far as what did get planted.
Yeah, what got planted with the hot temperatures. Like I mentioned before, we've got a lot of farmers that are side dressing in this area. You know, they usually don't side dress till, you know, V3, V4 corn, and it's there in a lot of those areas. It got out of the ground quick. Emergence has been good. And with those warm temperatures, it really moved that crop along as well.
I mean, we got up in the 90s. I didn't have the pool open yet.
I know you didn't invite us. I mean, if you did have it open, it doesn't matter.
I certainly would have if I had it open. But, you know, now I've got it open. We're looking at, like, you know, 60. Like, it was a high of 59 today.
Polar plunge, right?
I guess so. It's been a bit of a whirlwind here of late. And, you know, hearing from, you know, my buddy JR down there in Du Bois County, he's like, look, early on, we were okay. We got the crop in early, but then we kind of got shut down for a little while because of this rain. So now they're in this position where they've got this early stuff starting to emerge. It's coming out, but they still need to get planting done. So now they're starting to get to the point where they need to start side dressing. They need to start doing these other things, but they've still got a crop to get in the ground. It's just this balance of, where do I go now?
Yeah, you bring in, you know, spring, and I know spring's been a kind of a nightmare with the wind we've had this year, you know, trying to get stuff sprayed, and then you get stuff in different. Yeah, I've had those calls where I've got farmers that they said, well, I've got a bunch of fields yet to plant, but then I've also got stuff that I'm getting ready to side dress down in southern Indiana. So you're right. They got snuck some stuff in, but then they've been in a holding pattern with all this rain coming through.
What are we looking at in the way of replant at this point? Are we there yet? Have you gotten out your hula hoop? Is that what it is? Is that the method there, Sean?
I mean, that is a method. I mean, I've kind of...
That's your preferred one, right? Well, after you're done using it?
I get three of them, one for each of my kids, and then I go with the tape measure and just pull it out. But, I mean, in terms of replant, I've gotten a couple calls on, you know, here's my stand. But the replant that I'm dealing with, and some growers, is what's came through Friday night. Friday night's rain was part of it, but you go a little bit further north of us, Benton County, White County, those areas, Stark, Plaski, the windstorms, the dust storms that came through just annihilated a great looking crop. So I walked fields on Monday. I was getting, my phone was blowing up on Saturday, and you had good mid-April planted beans, and they were up, like we already talked about. Emergence was great. Mm-hmm. So these beans were V1, V2, so one or two trifoliates. And I'm walking the field. Okay, where's the soybeans? Like, gone completely. Like, 60-acre field, 80-acre field completely gone from just the dust storm. So they got sandblasted. So most of those soils have this kind of transition to more of a sandy texture. There are some that are a little heavier, but they just got blasted. And so replant, there's not a question on some of these fields. Go. There's no green tissue left. If you have a little bit, we can talk about, okay, is that going to survive or not? We have some of those pockets that, okay, you have a corner of the field, looks good. It's still, you know, there's a little bit of cotyledons, a little bit of unifoliates, or the growing point's been taken out. So, you know, for soybeans, growing point's up out of the ground pretty much after it emerges, right? Corn, it holds off a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. It stays under the ground until, what, V4, V5, something like that?
Yeah, V5, V6.
Yeah. And so walking these fields and driving around the countryside, I saw some corn that was tattered up, but the beans just took it on the chin from the windstorm that came through Friday night.
Yeah, all the replant chatter I've heard has largely been on the soybeans. There's a lot of corn that did. Yeah, my phone was blowing up on Monday as well. A lot of banged up corn, but corn's just a little bit different where it can kind of take it. The growing point is below the ground. So a lot of actually the pictures that were being sent to me, seeing the corn that was tattered pretty good, but you could actually see it starting to recover. So most of the stuff that I've seen didn't justify any replant on the corn side because it was starting to shoot out a healthy new leaf and was going to recover.
And I think some of that corn, too, from what I was driving around on Monday, a little bit bigger growth, right? Mm-hmm. It was bigger plant, so it can have the buddy system, if you will, yep, to even if it had the sandier textured soil. Mm-hmm. There wasn't as much sandblasting. If it was right next to a bean field, I mean, certainly those first rows of corn were really hit hard. But after that, they had the team kind of effort. And it, and again, you know, that growing point's below ground. But on the soybean front, if we had any inkling of green tissue, cotyledons, we'll have the auxiliary, so those buds at the stem will take over, and that's more advantage than doing any replant. But there was plenty of fields where it was just an inch of the hypocotyl or the inch of the stem and nothing else left.
I'm confused because I've been hearing for years that corn was the diva. I don't know. I'm just... My whole world's being thrown upside down right now, Dan.
Yeah, it's funny because we've...
Yeah, it's hilarious, let me tell you. It feels like I walked.
But we always... What's always interesting, I think what's interesting is that we've seen this big push of soybeans getting planted earlier, and largely because they can compensate, they're more resilient, stuff like that. But actually, in reality, when you look at, you know, whether it be frost damage or, you know, these wind storms or running over or anything like that, actually corn's a lot more tolerant once it gets up until that growing point gets out of the ground.
I think it's positional, and what I mean by that is, or situational is probably a better way to put it, is that, okay, if you have some tattered leaves, so wind damage, or you think about sandblasting or your frost like you talked about, corn may be a little bit of an edge. But if you're talking about uniform emergence and standability, no doubt it goes to soybeans all day long, right? Yeah. Corn has to be uniform, right?
Yeah,
they have to have that team together, right?
Yeah, and we can't tolerate the stand losses.
Yeah, like stand losses or uneven emergence, right? That's where the stories really push us on the earlier planting of soybeans versus corn. But yeah, a year like this or a weekend like this has really shown what soybeans can take it on the chin. But I'll also say that it's very, very specific to the situation, right? 60, 70 mile an hour winds. Haven't looked at what the actual numbers were, but I mean, that's every bit of my guess. But field to field specific too. And what I mean by that, across the road, so I have one field that's worked, right? As you know, ripped in the fall and cultivating in the spring. Across the road, I had maybe a vertical till, or one down the road, 2 miles was a no-till, night and day, right? You have a little bit more residue that's tied to the ground instead of the loose soil. And so here's a case where, okay, not going to knock anyone's management, but the management case really played out that it had a little bit more work ground, less residue to tie it down, less residue to be a windbreak. They got hit pretty hard. Now, some of the fields I'm thinking of as I drove by and stopped by, some of them, I mean, were VT, they got banged up, but it wasn't the whole field, it was maybe a corner, right? And so I think tillage, I think field management certainly had a big part of this. First week of May type planted fields looked okay. I mean, at that point, they're only cotyledons and unifoliates out. and I just don't think they have as much exposed to really get dinged.
You're listening to Purdue Crop Chat, brought to you by your Indiana Corn and Soybean Checkoff Organizations. Visit yourcheckoff.org.
I feel like I've been taking this crash course in agronomy for the past several years now, and I don't know what to think anymore.
Well, it goes back to you're just hanging your hat on one subject instead of it depends, right? I mean, if it was just as easy as that, right? I mean, okay. You could do the job, right? I mean, okay. Clearly you could do the job if that was the only answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep that in the back of my mind here now, now that I know better. You talked about just, you know, the different management styles, yep, to you know, protect against this type of thing. And I guess this is why we give all of these different types of information on this podcast and everywhere, mm-hmm, else, because there are just different options. And, yep, these are the types of situations that are out there that people take into consideration when they make those management decisions. Yep. It's not as though these types of situations happen every year, but here we are. It happened this year.
And it happened this year. And the comment that I heard, now, Dan gives me a hard time to be the elder statesman, I think is how he's put it. I certainly have more gray
old,
in my...
Old dude, is what he told me.
He's more seasoned.
More seasoned, yeah, like a cast iron skillet here. I'm well seasoned.
Is that what the gray is? Is that yeah, seasoned?
Seasoning. Okay.
Salt,
yes,
and pepper. Yes. Salt and pepper, yes, right? But, all right, so I've been here since 09, right? 15, 16 years. And, I mean, I've seen a lot across the state, across the Midwest, but I haven't seen this. Back in my North Carolina days, coastal plain soils are tend to be sandier. Sandblasting of cotton, I mean, I saw that, right? No doubt about this. But this kind of level of sandblasting, just taking out soybeans, I had not seen. Put that to the next level, you know, the agronomist or two and the farmer that sent me notes and visited. I mean, their 30, 40-year careers said they've never seen this. And they've worked this area, right? It's not just 30 to 40-year career. It's 30, 40-year career on, okay, you've got all this combination. You're in that wind tunnel area, right? You see all the wind turbines, right? Mm-hmm. It's there for a reason. Wind naturally goes there. Plus, soil that tends to have a little sandier texture. I mean, to say this is the first time, yeah, it's one in 40 years. So it is an anomaly, yeah, to say the least.
Yeah. What are we looking at now? You know, again, we've got a lot of emergence in this part of the state. We've still got some planting in other parts of the state that needs to happen. Where does the focus shift here for a lot of farmers? What are you seeing out there, Dan?
Yeah, big thing is I mean, obviously getting finished up planting. We always joke, you know, you still have plenty of yield potential out there. You know, I know it gets behind and gets late and you get impatient. You know, I think first thing to be mindful of when people get behind is always mistakes get made, right? There's probably going to be some push in it when you get a little bit later and it kind of stays wet. So just monitoring those areas, we're looking at emergence and overall health. But stuff that's up and stuff that I've walked and seen has looked really good so far. I have noticed some sulfur deficiency starting to show up in corn and a lot of kind of our usual suspect places out there. But big shift outside of finishing planting is largely been side dress timing. So a lot of farmers have moved into side dress. You know, big thing I've noticed, like I said, was some S deficiency, but I know a lot of farmers, especially on the corn side, do like making that sulfur application at side dress timing. But yeah, I mean, the big thing right now is just getting that nitrogen out there, getting the corn side dressed, and then hopefully we can catch some good weather and you're going to really start seeing a lot of that corn really start to take off. I always say when you get nitrogen on, temperatures start ramping up, that's when, you know, we always joke you can hear it grow. Corn's going to really start taking off in a lot of areas with that fertilizer down.
So, Dan, you're talking about having some sulfur deficiency showing, mm-hmm, up in the corn. Usual suspects are, what are we talking, no-till situation, early planting, cereal rye? What type of situations are you talking about?
It's been a little bit all over the board, actually. I mean, cereal rye has been the biggest culprit for us. So we've got some trials this year, some new trials following cereal rye, looking at the S component. Mm-hmm. So that's been one. But actually, even in the vertical till fields, we've been noticing here and even in West Lafayette, a lot of striping. We've had some come back. Took some tissue samples, stuff like that. So okay. Seen a little bit of S deficiency just pop up. But that's something we've kind of been noticing even in these fields.
Yep.
Usually that V3, V4 yep. time period with corn coming out, it's just something that we've been noticing pretty regularly yep. now. And even a lot of these more productive fields around this area of the state, I would expect, you know, potentially with some of this cooler weather coming through, maybe we might see a little bit more of it popping up.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. I asked it in particular because how warm it has been, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it has, until today, for the most part, we've been very unseasonably warm within what's been planted, mm-hmm. 85 degree weather plus or minus. I had April, 17th beans up in 12 days. I mean, that's a very fast mm-hmm. turnaround for a mid-April planting. You know, 4 weeks is not uncommon. So yeah. I was just trying to figure out and just draw that out a little bit, because a lot of times we think of sulfur deficiency showing up early planted on these heavier soils because it's been cool and wet and less mineralization. But we've had temperatures that are saying to the contrary. Yeah. So you're just starting to see it no matter what on the corn side.
Yeah, at least in some of the fields around here. I mean, more pronounced than when you have the cereal rye and the cooler conditions. But, yeah, we've been noticing it in some of our trials. I do wonder, too, some of the spots that we've been seeing it is when we've had, you know, our little bit higher rates of starter nitrogen.
So an imbalance. We talk yep. about that, a nitrogen to sulfur ratio.
Yeah, throwing off the N to S ratio. I know we can, there's in some cases with corn that we can actually induce sulfur deficiency with higher end nitrogen rates. We actually have a multi-state study this year looking at N by S ratios.
In the fertilizer,
corn,
right?
In the fertilizer. So I would say in some of those spots where we've kind of pushed a little bit more of that starter N or pre-plant N may have induced some of that.
What are you thinking? Over 60 pounds nitrogen?
Yeah, that's, yep, primarily through a 2x2 application, a little bit higher starter N rate. But, yeah, it's just kind of been the kind of usual culprit fields sure. that we've had, even in these sure. prairie soils. Productive soils have kind of been, it's, you know, the last couple of years working in those fields has kind of been usual culprit.
It's just really interesting. And again, I want to pull it out as we have this kind of back and forth, because I mean, I'm in those same kind of fields and seeing on the soybean, and put a lot to earlier plantings, which tend to have cooler temperatures in the soil, but I mean, we just don't have them this year. So it's interesting that you're seeing that. And then, you know, that nitrogen to sulfur ratio, we see the same thing for years in the wheat side, right? Mm-hmm. You do top dressing in wheat, and then you have a field that's deficient in sulfur, it's going to get even worse. Or if it's not, you're mm-hmm. overapply. So it's interesting you're seeing that on the corn side.
Mm-hmm. What about on the soybean side right now, Sean? It with corn leading the way right now with planting progress, did a lot of folks, did we miss that earlier, that timely planting window, or are we still all right here?
I mean, we can still yield well. There's no doubt about that. We talked about the story of the haves and the have-nots across the state. And at the state level, on the average, 59% is planted. Yeah, we've got great progress. Mm-hmm. But what we don't have is our friends down in the south, right? They're able to pull most years. Let's go both crops on this. Late March is not uncommon for them to pull in with the planter, right? And a lot of April. And I dare say we hardly had much of anything in that April period. Mm-hmm. And so we're behind in that way. But does that mean that we're behind in yield potential? No, I think there's still time, right? I think there might be a skosh off. I would not call it late by any means, right? I think that this week we've got the cool conditions of rain, and that's just going to add insult to injury for the east, central, and south part of the state. So next week, sunny, 75, hopefully. I think we can put a lot of beans in the ground in a hurry next week and still have, I'd say, most of the yield potential there.
You know, what do we know about, you know, southern Indiana right now in the way of, you know, just trying to get through that, like, timing wise, how far behind? You talk about yield potential for corn, and you know, we still have plenty of time. They are feeling pretty late right now, just because, you know, geographically where they're at, they feel like they should be way ahead of us up here in northern Indiana.
Yeah.
Well, they are behind compared to what they're used to, right?
Yes.
I mean, they're used to a month earlier being done in the ground, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Yes, but how far behind are they actually?
Well, I think the interesting point is, they feel behind compared to where they normally are. But you think about when typically what our biggest questions or, I guess, issues are when we get later and later is that we're paying attention to, is that crop going to finish in time? When you're in southern Indiana, you got a little bit longer fall, right? You're not going to have as early of a first frost date as, say, if you're delayed in northern Indiana, right? You're probably a little bit more risk. You probably need to pay a little bit more attention to, hey, do I need to change my maturities and stuff like that? But in southern Indiana, yes, you know, you're behind, but there's still, I would argue that there's still a lot of yield potential out there because they still have, they stay a little bit warmer, they have a little bit longer fall, right? And they still are able to capitalize on the no need to change the maturity on the corn down there. And they're still able to have a little bit later first frost date, average frost date. So they're probably still more likely to get that crop finished than if you're looking up in, say, the northern parts of the state where you're a little bit more worried of, hey, are we going to catch a frost and that crop's just not going to finish in time.
On the soybean front, I say we still have good yield potential in that southern third of the state. I dare say that probably corn has a little bit of an edge there that because your heat units, right? Soybeans, it's heat units and photo period. And so that's one of the big advantages that we've had with these earlier planting of soybeans over these last 5-7 years that we've done it more and more as a state. So we're losing out on that potential gain. That gain comes in more nodal development, more trifoliate nodes, and pod production. So I dare say if you're looking at percent to percent between the two, we're probably getting hit a little bit harder than you are as far as the yield potential. It's still good. I wouldn't call it great. The other part that I want to add on the soybean discussion is that there's yield and then there's profit. And what I'm saying by that is there's a lot of folks in the southern part and northern part too, but southern can usually plant earlier. They plant there's a good contingency that plants it earlier being early, maybe a little bit out of its normal geographic region, right? Maybe they go a 2.8 or 3.1 instead of a 3.8 or 4 or wherever you're at. And so they try to catch that old market price. I get it planted that 2.8 in the end of March, early April, and now I can get it cut by the time old market price is still there. So they lose out on a little bit of that potential. So I think we're probably missing the boat on some of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's take a time out here on the Purdue Crop Chat. And when we come back, we'll chat a little bit more about what we need to be preparing for here. And we've still got some planting to go. We've still got some spraying ahead. We've got to get some things taken care of there. We'll get some advice from the guys here as we move forward along here in planting season on the Purdue Crop Chat.
I'm Matthew Chapman, and I farm in Henry County, Indiana. Indiana Soybean Alliance and Indiana Corn Marketing Council invest checkoff dollars into building demand for corn and soybeans internationally. I've seen this work firsthand, and it's been eye-opening to see the growth in these markets, which also brings dollars back to our farms. Promoting U.S. corn and soybeans and increasing global demand is critical to the success of farmers right here in Indiana.
This message is brought to you by the Indiana Soybean and Corn Checkoffs.
And we're back here on the Purdue Crop Chat from the Indiana Corn and Soybean Innovation Center here at the Purdue Research Farm in West Lafayette. Dan Corn Quinn, Soybean Sean Castile, I'm Eric Pfeiffer. And, you know, the last time that we got together, we had Tommy Butts on, and we talked about weeds, and they're starting. They're here. You know, do they ever end? Really?
No, I think he like walks around our fields and just kind of drops them out as he walks. Right? He's got the drone sprayer, but I think he's up there really seeding the weeds in those fields for us.
Is it like in the Shawshank Redemption where he's just dropping rocks in the
exactly.
field? He's just like, you're like in his pants. He's just walking around fields, just dropping it right out of
yes,
there.
I think so.
You know, he talked a lot about, you know, just keep the sprayer close to the planter, like. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot easier said than done.
Yes.
And that's been a big problem here thus far this season, right?
Yeah, it's largely been the high winds. So planting conditions, you know, in the areas where it's been a little bit dry, planting conditions have been good. We've had, you know, 20, 30 mile an hour winds. You know, we just talked about, you know, this dust bowl that came through with these high winds. So just not being able to get the residual herbicides out there, not keeping up with the planter. And then, you know, some other areas that have been very dry, you know, Northwest, you know, they put getting residuals out, but you know, Tommy talks about you have to have that rain to activate it in some of those areas. So, yeah, starting to see some weeds poke through, weed escapes this time of year in certain areas around the state.
Yeah, I mean, we were pushing planting dates and great conditions, but 15, 20 a mile an hour wind, you don't. I mean, you can keep that sprayer behind there, but product's not going to stay in the field unless you want to, you know, you're shooting the basketball outside and play the wind. But I don't think it goes too well with state chemists when you do that.
Think he's got a problem with that?
Yeah, I think there might be, or your neighbor does too, right? But I definitely think that we had a number of those situations in the mid-April when it was fit to go. Let's go west, central, northwest. And planted, great. But then I was like, oh, what chemistry do I do now? I'm 2 or 3 days after planting. Well, you're kind of limited in what you can put out. And I've had some of those fields. I've walked some of those fields. And we've got weeds that are breaking, right? Whether, again, not enough rain to activate, different chemistry that came in later. But, I mean, you got 90-degree weather, 85-degree weather. We're having water hemp. We're having lamb's quarter, velvet leaf, morning glory. I'm seeing it all. It's there. And now, you know, half an inch, 2 inches of rain. Go back to sun next week. It's just going to explode on a lot of these fields.
Well, weeds are the number one issue every year without fail. I mean, it's just how it's going to be until, you know, until they're just, you know, eradicated completely. Someone come up with that invention. I haven't seen that biological yet. That just
I want to say a fumigant takes care of it, but it takes care of all the biology at that point,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But yeah, so we've got to get that taken care of. We've talked about side dress. Mm-hmm. You know, what else do we need to get working on here? I mean, it's a lot. It's busy season. But yet you guys found time to sit here and talk to me. So what are you guys up to?
He has 2 or 3 questions. What do you, we're just, you know, fiddling our thumbs here.
Yeah.
No, I think on the soybean side, I mean, obviously we still got to get some beans in the ground, make up for the windstorms that came through. Soybeans are going to be going through what's emerged. I mean, a third of the state, they're going to be going through the awkward stage of life. So there's going to be a lot of ugly looking soybeans just because they're V2, V3 soybeans that have been planted and up that are going to be just off green for a while. And so give a couple more weeks, they'll turn around. The other side of it is on what needs to be planted. I don't think there's any need to change seed rates or maturity groups. So we kind of loosely talked about that a moment ago. For the areas that we've got left, even if it is the north, right? Even if you get northeast, has to get some beans out. You can stay the course on your full season for the next week or two easily. If we're in the middle of June, we can start talking about whether we need to change both the maturity groups, shortening those up, as well as increasing the seeding rate. What has been interesting on, I've mentioned a couple times about having some low germ lots. I really haven't heard any true stand issues from those. I don't know if folks even, you know, they accounted for it. Hopefully that's what they did. But secondly, again, if they did plant them, they had adequate moisture and they had heat. So that low germ is really more of an issue. It's a warm germ test, but it's more of an issue if you're putting in a cold, nasty soil. Well, they just didn't have that, right? Those that did get planted. So I think we're doing okay in terms of what has established and been planted.
I forgot that this is the time of year where Sean offends middle school-aged boys across the world, where, you know, this
awkward
stage of life, these ugly soybeans,
these ugly boys,
you know, this is just what he does, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, it's self-prophecy. I was that way too, right?
Yeah, did he ever grow out of it is the question. As he's about to spit his chai everywhere where they misspelled his name. Did they ever spell your name right?
No, they never did.
No, they never spell his name right there. At the Bucks. Dan, what about corn?
You know, joke about soybeans. Corn goes through that awkward phase too, because we've talked about it on this podcast before. Corn has to transition its root system. It goes from largely living off the seed, and we always, the first roots, right, we call the seminal roots, and then you move to the nodal roots, the brace roots, and the more primary root system of the corn. So it does have to transition in its life, kind of like, again, in middle school, and kind of many cases that's when we see corn kind of get a little bit more off green. We start seeing some of those nutrients.
They're getting bullied by the soybeans next door. Yeah, is that what's going
exactly
on?
Exactly right.
Come down to my locker. Them names. See what I come on, kid. Give me your lunch money.
But you start to see a lot of nutrient deficiencies pop up. You also start to see the adverse effects. If we had any issues with root development, root growth, sidewall compaction, stuff like that, a lot of times we really start seeing those pop up at, V3, V4 growth stage. So be mindful of that. It's a great time to walk fields, side dressing. Best things I like about side dressing too is it's probably one of the best ways you can scout your crop for corn, because you're going to drive over all the acres and you can see it really well. You can look at the stand really well and get a good gauge of how it looks and the health of the crop. But just making sure those applications are made and put out, especially with side dress. Big thing with side dress for me is always if you can sneak it on a little bit earlier instead of just waiting, because you don't know with weather. I've seen many cases where it rains and then it keeps raining, and then the corn is just big enough. Okay, now my normal coulter inject bar can't get across it, and now we're behind. So, if you can get across it and you can get that side corn side dress, go ahead and pull the trigger instead of trying. Well, I got to wait till V6, V7, because you do run the risk of running into situations where you just can't get over it, and then it gets too big and the equipment can't get through there. Big thing is just watching things as they progress. As things start to progress, we'll start talking about disease, right? That's something to be mindful of as the crops start to progress, and paying attention to that, listening to Darcy and what they're finding around the state. So be mindful of that. But yeah, great time to assess stand, assess health, see how it looks, and go from there.
We don't need to talk disease yet, Dan. Come on. Did we have to go there already? let's put a bow on this one, guys. Yeah. Let's get back out in the fields here once this rain stops, and let's put a bow on plant 25, and then apparently, according to Dan, we'll move on to disease 25, and then
I'd rather take a break between those two and go to cookout 25.
There we go. We could do that. We could do that. Race day 25.
There you go.
We can do that. I actually have to miss the race this year. I've got to go to Cincinnati and watch my kid play basketball. I already told him, I'm not watching your game on Sunday. Like, I'm going to be in the stands watching the race on my tablet. So,
shame on you.
Yeah. Dad of the year. I'm watching his three other games this weekend, but I'm going to watch the race on the tablet during the line. If he gets hurt, yell.
He's never gotten any of those mugs. So yeah. Best dad ever.
Best dad.
World's best boss. I bought my own. If he gets hurt, someone tap me on the shoulder. Like, I'll
walk it off.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. So what? You sprained your ankle. You've got another one. Whatever. All right, guys. Enjoy. Let's get back out there. Let's finish it up, and we'll get together again here soon. We'll do another one of these.
So. Sounds good.
Yep. Thanks, Eric.
This has been Purdue Crop Chat, a regular series featuring Purdue Extension's Dr. Dan Quinn and Dr. Sean Castile, made possible by the Indiana Corn and Soybean Checkoffs, the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, and the Indiana Soybean Alliance. The Checkoffs are pleased to help bring you agronomy insights from Purdue Extension. Opinions on the podcast are those of the host and guests and not those of the sponsor. Purdue Crop Chat is a service of Purdue University Extension and Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.